miss any other birthdays this week? Okay, did we miss any birthdays last week? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. She is 19 and a half. If you got your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The Lord led me last week to do gentleness, and this week He's leading me back in that same area as we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be starting in verse 16 and reading when you get there. Why do you do the things that you do? What motivates you? Your wife. Okay. Why do you do the things that you do? What motivates you to do them? All right, for love. Does that motivate you to do everything? The growling of the stomach is a motivator, isn't it? Yes, it can be. We're going to look at what love is out of the Scriptures today. It's the very first mention of the fruit of the Spirit. But I want us to kind of put into context what Paul was saying. Beginning of verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalry, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, I like buts this time, okay? But, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, we're going to talk about the very first one. Why does he mention all the negatives and then the positives? Okay, go ahead. Okay. What was that for, Miss Debbie? You cleared your throat there pretty good. Some of us still do a few of those things, right? Okay. There is a contrast. Paul writes a contrast between the way that people live without Christ and the way people should live in Christ. And then he shares with us about the importance of the Spirit of God in our walk every day. We are to walk in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, to walk in the Spirit? Do I get out every day and ask Him to hold hands with me and we just walk down the road? Is that walking in the Spirit? Do what He tells you. All right, do what He tells you. What else? Okay, they should. Absolutely, you're right. To walk in the Spirit is to allow the Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to show you the right way, but we also have a responsibility that goes with it. Now, we can't do it without the Spirit. But the Spirit chooses for us to be involved in the process. Now, by the way, believe it or not, you have all these things already. Okay. You have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Amen. But not always does it manifest in our day-to-day walk. It's according to our allowing the Spirit to work and our obedience to the Spirit. Now, how do you learn the right way to walk?
Reading your Bible.
Okay. You have to study God's Word to find out what God's standard is, what it means to walk in the right way. What else? You need to spend some time with God. Have you ever noticed sometimes that you have something in your life you need to get rid of, but God doesn't take it out right away? Sometimes it's a process of you seeing that in your life and bringing it up before the Lord as He brings it up to you. Forgiveness sometimes that has happened in my life that way, where I knew that somebody done something to hurt me. It was my responsibility as a Christian to forgive them, but it wasn't in me to do it. And I'd have to go back quite often and say, Lord, these feelings have come back that I don't want. Please help me to forgive this person and love them like you want me to. Now, it didn't always happen like that. I wish it did. It was a process. As I saw it and as I realized those feelings and those thoughts weren't well and wasn't good, and I would take them to the Lord. And after a while, you forget about it. God's kind of just taking you away from that. But He also adds things in our lives the same way. He wants us to see the need for them. How important is love? I'm glad you said that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes as well. Glue that holds us all together, He said. How important is love? It is above all. It's one of the greatest things that believers are to have in their life. By the way, did you know it's not an option? You know, in life sometimes we pick who we want to love. I like this one. I might love this one a little bit. That one. Some of us are hard to love. Yeah, that's right. We are. But guys, that doesn't mean it can't be made possible through God. And I've shared with you that happened to me. I had a family in one of my churches that, man, we just butted heads on everything. Nothing ever came easy. And I had to be honest with you. You know, I knew I couldn't change them as much as I wanted to. Okay? I couldn't change them. So the only thing I could do was ask God to change me, change my heart, change my attitude, and give me that love for them. And the thing that I had to say is, God, help me to love them like you love them. Because obviously I don't. Okay. And after a time, God gave me that love. But it was something I had to work on in my life because it just didn't come easy. There are some people that you, and you know, by the way, a lot of those times it happens to be you're seeing things in their life just like in your life. Did you know that? Sometimes the hardest person to get along with is someone just like you. My daughters are opposite personality-wise. Really are. The youngest one, just like me. And her sister said, you got a death wish. Because if I said it was daylight, she'd say it was dark. If I said it was right, she'd say it was wrong. And we just butted heads. You know, she's the kind of girl, when she was little, you took her into a grocery store, you had to stay in the middle. If you got too close to the side, she'd grab it. No matter how many times you tell her, don't touch anything. But, you know, later on, when she got a little bit older, we come to realize we're just alike. She hates to admit that. But it happens. So sometimes when we can't get along with somebody, it's because they're a lot like us. Maybe not, but God can help you to love that person too. By the way, what is the definition of biblical love? All right, that's almost word for word to some of the definitions. Wanting the very best for the other person. Now, by the way, sometimes that's wanting the very best for the other person, even if that's not what they want. Actually, the love of God for us was He sent Jesus to die on the cross even when we didn't love Him. If God would have come out and said, "What is the best way that I can change your life?" What would you have told Him? "Just forgive me and let me live the way I want to, Lord." And let me go to heaven after it's all over. God, you know, that wouldn't be the best for me. That wouldn't be the best God has for me. And God's way was through His Son to redeem me, and then the Spirit of God come in my life and make the changes that needs to be made in my life. Praise the Lord, because I can't do it. That's God's way. He wants the very best for us. That's what's that kind of love. But it's also self-sacrificing love. Willing to do. In fact, let's look at a definition of what love is. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. By the way, in this definition, he also tells you what love isn't. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was the wicked one, murdered his brother. For why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother was righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brothers abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love." Now this is how you can understand love. "Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren." Now, he gave us the negative first. He said, this is what love is not, like Cain killing his brother. That's not love. Or even hating your brother. But he says, this is what true love is. This is how you know how to love, that the Father gave His Son, laid down His life on the cross for us. Therefore, we need to be willing to lay down our life for our brothers. That's pretty tough love, isn't it? That's pretty hard. How many of you are willing to lay down your life for somebody else right now? Let's get in line. That does. You know, you think about giving your life for someone who doesn't care, who doesn't love, who's just really not a nice person. That would be hard for us to say, yeah, I'll do that. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did for us. When we didn't love Him, we didn't care about Him, could care less if He died on the cross for us at that time, and yet He chose to love us and to do it. By the way, biblical love is an action. It's not a feeling. It's not that warm and fuzzy thing that you got in high school or that sick to your stomach thing. That was bad pizza. It is an action. You know, it tells us that God demonstrated His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, did you get that word, demonstrated? He demonstrated His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By the way, is it easy to show that kind of love? It's not an easy thing. In fact, it's kind of an impossible thing for most of us. But praise the Lord, love doesn't come natural to us, not this kind of love. It comes through the Holy Spirit. He is the one who brings God's love into our life. And He can increase that for us in our lives as we allow Him to and help us to love others, especially the unlovable. Okay? When that happens and you realize that and God makes it possible for you to love that person, you go, wow. Wow. Just a few months ago, I wanted to kill that person. And now I love them. By the way, do you know love is a commandment? It was in the Old Testament. You remember when the religious leaders came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, what is the great commandment? Well, let me read it to you out of Mark. It said, then one of the scribes came, and having heard him reason together, perceiving that he had answered well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second one like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. Now listen to how the scribe came back. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there's no one, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Jesus said to him, you don't realize how close you are to eternal life. This scribe answered pretty good, didn't he? He said, you said true. That was the Old Testament, to love God with all of our being and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, what's in the New Testament? Are we commanded to love each other in the New Testament? Oh, yeah. Yep. All through the Gospels, of course, Jesus talking to His disciples, but also in the epistles. Paul said, walk in love. Now, by the way, that's a command. That wasn't an option. He was given a command when he said that in the Word. He said, you and I are to walk in love. In other words, everything that we do in life is to be done in the sphere of love. That's the reason I ask you, what motivates you? It should be the love of God, the love of Christ, and the love of others. That's not just spiritual things. That's when you go to work every day. Why do you do that work every day? I hope it's because you love the Lord and you love those that you're ministering to through the work you're doing. You don't love the county? But you see, it's not just about the time that we spend at church or the time that we're getting a Sunday school lesson together or the time we go on outreach. It's every moment of our lives. We're to love people in such a way it ought to motivate us. Everything we do for others, even for ourselves, should be because we love God. I'm not hearing very many amens. Not even too many oh me's. Yes, I know it's a hard thing. But the Holy Spirit can bring that love in your life. He really can. What else does love do for us? All right, it can give us peace, but let me share this one with you. Love builds you up. Love builds you up. What does that mean? Now, let me read a passage. This is from 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. But love edifies. You know, places in the Scripture tells us that, you know, you could eat any food, But if your brother's not in the same spiritual condition you are, and he sees you eating something or drinking something that would cause him to stumble, then you shouldn't eat it or drink that. Even though it's not sin to you, it may be sin to them. Now, we could say, hey, I have the right. I know it doesn't hurt me spiritually. I can do it and go on and do it. But love says, I care about that person. I want to strengthen them till they get to that place where they're mature as well. So I'm not going to drink that or eat that or do that out of love. Well, it strengthens them, edifies them, but it also does you. As you love other people and show that love in their lives and show that self-restraint, even though you had the liberty to do it, and it wouldn't hurt you spiritually, but you were considered as somebody else, it causes you to grow. And even just for that split second, you know what Jesus did for us. Because he had done no sin. He had no sin in his life. Nothing to cause him to be beaten and crucified. And yet he did it for us. Willingly laying down his life. It builds up. What else does it do? Well, not only does it build us up, but everything that we do should be done in love, as we talked about. It also is the bond of unity. God desires that the church of Christ, whether it's this local body or the whole church, as far as everybody born again, but especially in the local body, he wants us to be together. He wants us to be going in the same direction. Now that creates a problem because we're humans. Not two or three of us see the same thing the same way. So how in the world are we all going to get on the same page, going in the same direction, doing the same thing? Only through love. Only through love. There's an interesting passage. Remember Curtis talked about love being the glue? There is a passage. It says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's the glue that will keep us together. It's hard to be mad at somebody when you love them. Now, you can get mad for a little while, but you can't stay mad at them. Not if you really love them. Now, I know husbands and wives fight. I understand that. I see the smile on your faces there. I know sometimes you fight with your kids. That's kind of part of it. But you ain't going to stay mad. Listen, I love my daughters. They don't always do what I want them to do. I could say, you know, I'm going to stop loving them because they don't see life my way. But that wouldn't be what God wants me to do, would it? And it wouldn't be a good dad either. I'm going to love them no matter what they do. Now, I want to kill them once in a while, but I still will love them, all right? That's part of it. We're to love them. We're to love each other that way. Now, you're going to like this next one. Did you know that love covers a multitude of sins? Now, what in the world does that mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. By the way, that is a verse. What does it mean that love covers a multitude of sin? What if I do something that Curtis don't like? That happens quite often, but anyhow, just say that. And Curtis just decides, you know what, I'm going to wreck a big thing out of this thing. Or Curtis could say, you know, I love my pastor, and I know he's not perfect, and I know what he said wasn't right, but I'm just going to forget it and love him anyhow. You see, love overlooks. Love lets things slide. That's what it means by love covers a multitude of sin. If you want unity, if you want a close group, we're going to have to overlook each other's faults. Because I'm not the only one here with faults. Just letting you know. You see, but love overlooks those things. It doesn't mean you don't get upset once in a while. It doesn't mean, you know, that you don't have a few words once in a while. That's going to happen. That's people being people. That's in the scripture. Paul and some of the others had that occasionally. But it means that you don't let it hinder the work of the Lord or your relationship with each other. And there's one other, and it uses the same term. Let me read this one to you. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. If you love somebody enough to go with them and let them know they're out of order with the Lord. By the way, that's really hard to do. You know, sometimes I have to say things from the pulpit that's not real comfortable. And I know some of the people it's going to affect them when I say it. But I have to be truthful. But in love, if you take a person, you let them see how they're not walking with the Lord and they repent and turn back to God or trust God to begin with, it covers a lot of sins. Not in your life, but in their relationship getting right with the Lord. Because if somebody gets right with the Lord, they're going to what? Repent. And the Lord's going to forgive them. And those sins are taken care of. Guys, everything we do, the greatest virtue of a believer is our love for one another. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, by your love for each other, the world will know you belong to me. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but in my Sunday school lesson this morning, we were talking about the world before God destroyed it the first time. It said in the passage, in the scripture, that man continually had evil in his mind and heart. And I look at our world today and I'm thinking we're not far from that right now in our world. Maybe in some ways even worse than that world was. And you know, if you're not careful, you could just want to give up. But what the world really needs to see right now is Christ. If you want to change the world, you know, my buddy was a little discouraged this morning. My pastor friend that I tell you about, he called me and he goes, you know, I asked the Lord to impact my life this morning when I read the scripture. I really wanted him to impact my life. And he said, as I read the scripture, and he memorizes a lot of scripture, as he was going over that scripture, God impressed upon his heart about abortion. Now, by the way, this verse had nothing to do with abortion that he was going over. I don't think what he was doing, but God laid it on his heart and asked him kind of, what have you done about it? And he said, you know, think about it. What have I done? What could I do? I shared my Sunday school. I could preach here in church, but many of you are already believers. As Rick said, it's preaching to the choir if we talk about abortion. You know that. Telling you about it's not going to change the world out there. What can we do to change the world? Well, we could go on television. I could become a politician. But that would ruin my testimony right there. Guys, I'm sure there's a lot of things you can do. But one of the best things you can do is tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them how they can know Christ as their Savior and Christ can change their life and show them God's love. You know, there's a thing that talks about Noah preaching for 100-something years. And I asked the question, do you think he actually went from neighbor to neighbor and tried to preach to them? Or did he start building a boat out in the middle of the wilderness where there wasn't any water and it had never rained before? Can you see the neighbors stopping by going, what you building, buddy, a new barn? I'm building a boat. A boat? How are you going to get it to the water? We ain't even close. Well, it's going to start raining in a little while. What's rain? Well, God's bringing judgment upon the world. And he came to me and he said, build a boat. Well, why are you building a boat? Because God's going to flood the whole earth. Nobody that's not on this boat's not going to survive. Guys, if you live the Christian life out and share Christ with others and show that love, it's going to be obvious. Amen? Greatest thing we can do is show Christ's love. You might say, Brother Terry, I know that you said that we all have these things if we're believers. They're already a part of our lives. How do I manifest that love? more and more. Well, first of all, realize you're not manifesting it very well to begin with. And then begin to study what love is. Let me tell you, when you get in the Word of God and begin to study about what it is, God doesn't keep it a secret. He lets you, you know, the more you study, the more He'll reveal to you. And then when you see it and you begin to ask God, please, God, show this to me in my life. I want the world to see this in my life. Just like they saw it in Christ. I want them to see it in my life more and more. And you begin to pray that way, and then when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, do it. That love will just manifest itself through the Spirit of God. Now, by the way, we're not going to stop with that. Next week, we're going to tackle another one. The one on joy, which you really need to tell your face because you're missing it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You so very much that You loved us. That, Father, You didn't just say it, You demonstrated it. The Bible tells us that You and Your Son are the supreme example of what love is. It's willing to sacrifice our life for someone else. Lord, help us to learn to love each other. Really love each other. Not tolerate. Not kind of get along. Or not, I'm not going to talk to them because they get in a fight every time I do. But Father, help us to truly, truly, truly love each other. May it be the very thing that motivates everything that we do in life, not just here at church, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays as well. And Father, I know that You can cause that love to grow in our life if it's not manifested the way it should be. You can help us to love people who are not lovable. Care about people that's hard to care for. You can help us do that. And that's what You desire in our lives, to show that love. That's what brings us together. That's what causes us to be stronger and more united in the work of Christ. That love that we have for You, Lord, and for each other. Help us to show that more and more and more. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning that has never trusted You as Lord and Savior, doesn't understand that love that You have for them, that You were willing to give Your Son's life on the cross, that perfect one. Jesus willingly laid His life down on the cross to take care of our sin problem, that sin that separates us from You, Father. You desired so much to have a relationship with us, that You paid the price Yourself and offer that forgiveness as a free gift if we'd receive it. Oh, what love that You show to each one of us. Lord, if there's someone here who's never trusted You, I pray that today will be that day they realize how much You love them. And they'll respond by trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Lord, the altars are open. Maybe someone just needs to come up and pray. Pray for more love, or pray for that it would come out more in their lives. Thank You for loving us, Lord. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.